Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dr. Okamoto, a professor from St. Louis Seminary, is convinced that the scriptures prove that Jesus died because he was the Son of God, because he was God himself. Jesus did actually admit to being the very God of very God in John 10, verse 30. In his conversation with some Jews, the Jews asked him, "If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And at the end of Jesus' response, he says, "I and the Father are one." With those words, there was no question as to whether Jesus thought he was God or not. He definitely believed that he was God. And so the Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus had answered plainly as they had requested, and he had answered truthfully, and yet the Jews picked up stones to stone him. They did not believe him. They did not believe that he was truly God, man, God in human flesh. This was because, as Dr. Okamoto would say, because he had answered truthfully that he was God, that they began picking up stones to stone him. And one chapter later, in chapter 11, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Not the Lazarus from the gospel text, but a real human being who had lived and who began living in his physical body again by the hand of Jesus, bringing him to life once more. And then just one chapter later, in John chapter 12, the chief priests decided that not only Jesus should die, but even Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised. This is what is recorded there. "When the large crowd of Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came, not on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus." Jesus never got a break while he was here on earth. The Jews wanted to stone him. The chief priests wanted to put to death the very man he had just raised from the dead. And even when he was on the cross dying, he still got no rest. The people around him, according to the Gospel of Mark, it says that those who passed by him derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests and the scribes mocked him one to another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Despite all his miracles, or perhaps, as Dr. Okamoto would say, because of his miracles, they wanted to put Jesus to death. Jesus was not believed. He'd raised the dead, and yet many did not believe. This morning we'll consider if that's not the very point that Jesus makes in his gospel, in his parable from our gospel text, as we look at it. Jesus begins his parable to the Pharisees, as we'll learn a few verses ahead of time. That's who he's speaking to, the Pharisees. And he's describing the living conditions of a rich man and a poor man named Lazarus. Midway through the parable, both the rich man and Lazarus die. The rich man goes to Hades and Lazarus to heaven. Now, at first glance, it may seem as though the rich man went to Hades because of his great wealth and his lack of love for his fellow man. It would also appear as though Lazarus went to heaven, not necessarily because he deserved it, but perhaps because God had pity on him. Yet Jesus knew his listeners well. His listeners were the Pharisees, the ones who were well-read in the scriptures, especially Moses and the prophets, namely the Old Testament. The first verses, the first words of this parable may have given the false impression that that was why each went there, went to the place that they did, because of the wealth or lack thereof. But once Jesus gets to the middle, the Pharisees would have recognized the man that Lazarus met, Abraham. At hearing the name Abraham, the Pharisees would still get it wrong, though. They would hear about Abraham being with Lazarus, and they would have assumed, oh, that's the reason that he was in heaven, because he was a descendant of Abraham, just like we are descendants of Abraham, and so we know we're going to heaven. That's the thought process of many of the Pharisees. They trusted on being descendants of Abraham for salvation. At the same time, they would have assumed that the rich man was not a descendant of Abraham, and that's why he ended up in Hades. One could certainly think that the Pharisees were correct if that's all that we had to go on. Yet at the end of the parable, Abraham says to the rich man that his brothers must listen to Moses and the prophets to be saved. Again, the Pharisees may have heard this, and they might have even remembered Rahab. Rahab was a Gentile, a Canaanite, and yet she came to believe what happened to Moses and the Israelites. She came to believe that and converted into Judaism. Well, none of the Pharisees would have had a problem with somebody converting into Judaism. But is that what Jesus was talking about? Is that what Jesus meant? Let's look at another place where Jesus talks about the scriptures, about Moses and the prophets and the Old Testament. In John's Gospel, Jesus said, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me." In that passage, the Gospels had not yet been written. The Gospels that we have in the Bible and all the epistles were not written yet. So all they had were the Old Testament texts. And Jesus says those Old Testament texts were written all about him. So it was not how the rich man or Lazarus had lived, or even their relationship to Abraham, that had saved or condemned them. It was whether or not they had faith in the promises of God in the Old Testament. Those promises concerning the coming Messiah, Jesus, that Jesus himself would be. Now remember, the Pharisees had that same Old Testament. Yet instead of watching for the coming Messiah, many of them were trusting their relationship to Abraham for their salvation. And so too did the rich man trust his wealth for his salvation. He looked at being able to eat sumptuously every day, and he looked at being able to lie on comfortable couches and beds and things like that for his salvation, to know that things would be okay in the end. He looked at his wealth. He didn't listen to the scriptures of the Old Testament, the scriptures that not only pointed to a coming Messiah, but also taught to love one's neighbors, including the poor. Apparently, though, at some point, we're not told where or how or anything like that, but apparently somehow Lazarus had heard the good news. He had heard the Old Testament and heard the promises of God concerning a coming Messiah. In other words, his trust in the promises of God were what saved him. This life is all about faith, where you put it. Do you put your faith in your riches or your wealth? Do you put it in the faith of your ancestors? Do you count on being a descendant of someone else for your salvation? Or do you trust in Jesus Christ, the Savior who has promised to come and did come for your salvation? Hopefully you put your faith in Christ Jesus through God's Spirit working in you. But who exactly is this Jesus? What has he done that we should put our trust in him? Well, he did miracles, and he even raised Lazarus, the real human being, from the dead. Many came to trust Jesus from that miracle, yet others did not. Some even wanted to put Lazarus to death again to stop others from believing in Jesus because of him. So would having someone raised from the dead be enough to cause someone to believe? Well, perhaps, but it takes more than that. It takes trusting the one who raised the person from the dead. It takes trusting Jesus. And it takes trusting the promises concerning him from the Old Testament that are fulfilled in the New Testament. Today we know that Jesus, after telling this parable, continued to preach and teach for a while. But then he was arrested. He was tried before Pontius Pilate, and he was taken to the cross to be crucified. There on the cross he suffered hell itself. Separation from God the Father in complete and totality. He suffered that in place of every human being on this planet, including you. He did that so that you wouldn't have to suffer that punishment for your sins, so that your sins would be wiped out, and so that you would know that you were going to heaven on his account. Then he descended into hell, and he spent 3 days proclaiming his victory over Satan in hell itself, before being raised again on the third day. Yet even today, not everyone believes. Despite the eyewitness accounts that Jesus was raised, and they could physically touch him and see him with their own hands and eyes. So what does rising from the dead prove? Well, it proves exactly what Moses and the prophets say that it proves. It proves that we're in a sinful, fallen world. That God would and did send a Savior. And that in trusting God's promises, we would be counted as righteous, like Abraham was. The rich men had thought that if someone goes to them from the dead, they would repent. But time has proven that to be false. Lazarus was raised, others were raised, and Jesus himself was raised. And yet not everyone believes. Not everyone has repented. As Abraham well said, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise the dead. It takes more than one rising from the dead to be saved. It takes believing God's promises. Today, then, there is still no purpose for someone to come back from the dead. We have all that we need in the Scriptures, in the Old Testament and the New, to bear witness to Jesus as our Savior from sin. We have all been given God's Holy Spirit so that we can believe and make the good confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and God Himself, and that my salvation and your salvation is found in Him. Through that same faith, we learn and will learn to serve our neighbors, even the poor ones. Works do not save, but faith without them is dead. So we have the Holy Spirit who works not only faith in us, but continues working in us so that new man in us will desire to serve our neighbors, the rich and the poor alike. All of this we have on account of Christ Jesus, who died and was raised again for you and for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.